Last week we learned the halacha from the Yerushalmi that even though you're not allowed to steal even less than a pruta from a person because he's makbid, it's a tzar causes him, but if it's something that no one's makbid about, the Yerushalmi's case was a fence where people take off a chip of wood for a toothpick, or he has a whole bundle of straw and he takes off one little piece for his toothpick. So the Yerushalmi says there's no gezel by that because people aren't something that no one's makbid, there's no gezel. However, the Yerushalmi did say, and that's what he's passing in the Shulchan Aruch, that there's a midas chasidus not to even take it in such a case. And we were thinking of cases last week of rubber bands or paper clips, people that have a lot of them, and probably no one's makbid if they lose one out of their 1,000 paper clips or rubber bands. So there would be no Isser Gezel, Bidyevet at least, Minas Chasidus, though not to take it even such a case. Afterwards, Moshe Kravitz gave another example, which I think is a good example, that you walk into a shul and you have a cell phone, you plug in the charger, where you're taking 10 cents of the shul's electric bill for the month. So it's 10 cents, it's more than a shavar pruta, but since it's probably something people aren't makbid when you have a guest over your house, whether they plug in their phone, and the thing's going to go up 10 cents, so that might be a good example where there's no iser gezel, but there could be a minas chasidus not to do it, unless we know for sure that they announce that you're allowed to do it, or they say that you're allowed to do it, it could be a minas chasidus even in that case. Tonight we're going to switch to cases where it's not like an umdunot that no one cares about it, but it's a friend of yours who you can assume won't mind if you take a few potato chips from their bag. They're not there now, and they have potato chips, a roommate, or can you borrow, I'll just give the questions, can you borrow his comb, his toothbrush, his ruler, right? Can you borrow these small things? It's not worth a lot of money. Or can you take them? Right? We'll talk about both cases. Taking potato chips, borrowing a ruler, borrowing a comb, taking a rubber band from, he won't mind once he finds out about it, if he would find out about it. And it happens all the time. You have someone that you're working with, you have a good friend, a relative. When is it that you're allowed to take or borrow objects from them without their knowledge, and when is it aser? Right, this is the sugya. Besides gizelo, it's a sugya called shoel shlomi das. Right, there's halacha of shoel shlomi das, borrowing something without a person's knowledge. So even though normally you could borrow objects from people, but if you do without da'as, the simon and shinon test that we're learning says it's gezel. A shoel shlomi das is called a goslin. So the question is, are there any exceptions to the rule? What are the rules of shoel shlomi das and also taking without knowledge? We'll start with the sugya of yush in Bava Metzia, Chavez Amid Aleph. Amemar Umar Zutra Barabashi, these three Amoraim throughout Shas are always together doing different things, and in this case in Bava Metzia, Iklu Levusuna Demari Bar Isak. They happen to be in the orchard of Mari Bar Isak. Mari Bar Isak wasn't home, but he had a sharecropper. A sharecropper means that I own an orchard, and I hire someone to work on the orchard, so I don't have to work there myself. And his payment is that he gets a certain share of the crops. He's a sharecropper, a half, a third, a quarter. So the Mari Bar Isak, the owner, wasn't there, but the sharecropper was there. So I see Arise Tamir Virimoni. The sharecropper brought out dates and pomegranates, the Shada Kamayu, and he placed it in front of these three Amaroyim. Ameima Ravashi Ochli, Ameima Ravashi ate the fruit. Marzuta Lochel, but Marzuta did not want to eat it because it's not the sharecroppers. It belongs to Mari Bar Isak, and he's not home, and the sharecropper might be taking it without Rishus. Tzadhachi, in the meantime, also Mari bar Yisak Ashutinu. Mari bar Yisak saw his three chashiv guests there. Barmelei Darisa, and he told his sharecropper, Amailo Isisul Rabbanim and Hal Shapirta. Why did you give them these regular foods? You should have gotten them better foods. These are such chashiv guests. You should have gotten them something better. Now for sure, Mar Zutra should have been wanted to eat, now that he heard that Mari bar Yisak didn't mind them eating it, but he still didn't eat it. So Omrele Ameima Ravashi Lemar Zutra, Ameima Ravashi asked Rav Zutra, Hashtam Maidal Chamar, why aren't you eating now Bishlama? Before you weren't sure what he would think, but now he said that why don't you give him the better ones? That's mashma that he doesn't mind. We know that that's mashma he doesn't mind? Because Latani, we learned in a brisa that cases where someone went and took up truma without the permission of the owner, and the owner comes and says, why don't you take better produce for truma? And Allah is, in nimtzu yafas man, if there really are better produce available, shumas to truma, the truma is valid. So we see that we rely on someone saying, why didn't you give him better, in a case when there really is better produce there. So here also, where Mari bar Yisak said, why didn't you give him the better stuff? Why was Mar Zutra still reluctant to eat from the foods he should have taken that statement as a permission to eat? So Amar Lahu, so Mar Zutra answered Meimar and Ravashi, Hachi Amar Rava, this is what Rava said, Lo Amar Klach Eitzel Yafis, the only time you can rely on the statement of the owner saying you should have gotten the better one, that's only Elalini and Truma Bilvat. That's only by separating Truma. Mishum de Mitzvah is a Mitzvah to take out Truma. The Nichle, a person likes having the Mitzvah done in the best possible way, and he said, why don't you take the better ones? We would say that he really meant it. Abu Hacha, but over here where Mari bar Yisak came, and he sees these three chashiv guests there with their foods in front of them, maybe really he doesn't want to give up his foods. He was planning on selling them. And why is he saying, why should you give him the better ones? That's Mishum Ksifusa Damarach. He's only embarrassed that he didn't want to look like he's stingy, so he comes and says, oh, why don't you give him something better to show how generous he is? But he wasn't really happy that the aris, that the sharecropper had given it. So that's why Mar Zutra refused to eat it, even after hearing the statement of Mari bar Yisak. That's the Gemara. So let's see, why did Rav Ashi and Rav Ashi, so Mar Zutra is being machmi here. You have two Amaroim who say that it's mutter, right? So why did they say, why are they holding that it's mutter? Right? So that's a machlokas v'shonim, right? Why is it that Rav Ashi and Ameima weren't worried? And why was it that Mar Zutra was worried? Let's read Tosos. Tosos says here, V'intamar v'amaylo ochal, why did Mar Zutra not eat? Ha'amar Rav Perka goes l'basra, we have a rule in Gemara and Baba Basra, in Baba Kama, Arisa midanashi kazavin. You assume when you go to a sharecropper and he's selling you fruits, you can assume that it's from his own share and not from the owner's share. Right? So why over here did he refuse to eat? Why don't we assume that it's the sharecropper's fruits and not the owner's that was taken without rishos? And for the Tosfos, the Yesh Lamar, the Hasam Shevi Ha'aris Mibayis. When the Aris goes to his house and he takes out fruits, so then you can assume that he's taking out his own share. Maybe you can assume he's taking what was in his share. But the case that we're talking about was Shehevi Min HaPardes. Over here they were visiting the orchard. They're in the middle of the nice orchard. And the sharecropper goes and takes fruits off the tree. So these certainly weren't divided yet. They were still there in the open, and he was just taking them off the tree. The only thing we could maybe hope is that he'll keep in mind how many he took off, so that when they end up dividing, it'll say, you know, I'm supposed to get half, but I already took 10 that I gave to these guests. So, Hayachoshet Mar Zutra was worried, Shema B'Shas Chalukam, when it came time to divide the payrus between him and the owner, Lo Yom Elevala HaParides, Tito Kenegan Mashan Asasilam, he won't tell you, he might forget, or he won't on purpose, he won't tell the owner of the orchard that he should take the 10 fruits corresponding to the 10 that he already took earlier. So that's why Mar Zutra didn't eat them. As if he takes it from the house, and then you can assume that it's the sharecroppers. But over here, it was clearly not the sharecroppers, it was still in the field. The only thing you have to hope is that the sharecropper will remember to tell the owner afterwards that he took them, so Mar Zutra was worried. But Rav Ashi, Lo hayachash lezem. Ravashi wasn't worried about this. Ulkach ochal kodem shema rabari bar Isaac. That's why he ate even before Mari bar Isaac came. Mishum de'aris v'nashik ki'oyiv. Because that's the assumption. The aris is always taking his own share of the crops, and he's not taking from the owner. Now there's another possible reason Tosu says that you might want to think why Rav Ashi and Amemar ate him, and he says you can't say that reason. And that's the reason that we have to discuss, that's the reason that we're discussing tonight. Tosu says, the Einlamer, don't say that why did Rav Ashi eat? What? Because Shahaya Samech, he was relying on the fact, She Yitzratzim Aribar Yisak, She Yeda. Right, maybe that's why he ate. Let's even assume that the sheriff cropper wasn't going to tell Mari bar Isaac about it, and he was taking Mari bar Isaac's fruits. But you know why Rav Ashi ate it and Amemer ate? Because they were friendly with Mari bar Isaac, and they knew that as soon that Mari bar Isaac wouldn't mind, because as soon as he finds out, he would say, "Fine, you're my friends, and I'm glad that you ate it." So Tosfos says, "Don't say that." In other words, you're not allowed to take something from your friend without his knowledge. Why is that? Balocha ka avaya. Because we pass on like avaya, this is the sugya in Eila Metzias of Yishalami Das. Right, we have a case where you find a Metzia, you find something in the middle of the street that has no simon on it. So there's no simon, you shouldn't have to announce it, you can't announce it because there's no one going to give a simon. And if someone loses something without a simon, if someone loses a $10 bill, he's miyayish, he gives up hope of ever recovering it because he knows how's he ever going to give a simon that everyone has a $10 bill. There's no simon on it. That's called yush. However, what happens if you find the $10 bill before the person realizes that he lost it? So that's called yush shalomi dahas. That's yush without the owner knowing about it, even though when he eventually knows about it, he will give up hope. But right now, when you picked it up, immediately before he found out about it, before he realized it, we learned by money he realizes right away, but at least the times of the Gemara, but let's assume that you picked up the $10 bill before he realized it. So when you picked it up, he had not had yush yet. He didn't give up hope because he didn't know he had lost it. It's only you're picking it up, assuming that when later on he realizes that he lost his, he lost the $10 bill, I never find it, he gives up hope. But you took it before that happened. That's called Yushalamidas. Rava holds, you're allowed to keep it in even such a case. Abaya, though, says Yushalamidas is not Yush. And we pass him like Abaya and Yal Kagam. This is the Yud of Yal Kagam called Yush. We pass him like Abaya, that Yush, Shalamidas, that if you pick up something before he realizes he lost it, doesn't count as Yush, even though it's certainly something if he knows about it, he would be Miyayesh. So Apagav the Hasha Nichale, so therefore, even though right now when Mari Bar Isaac will find out that you gave him the fruits, yeah, of course, I'm glad you did it because it's my friends and their Chashav, Tamir Chachamim, I'm glad you did it. Even though now he's happy about it when he shows up, but at that point in time when, before he had come, he didn't know that they were being given to be happy about it at that point. So Tosa says, just like when you pick up a mitziah before the owner knows about it, that yush, that later yush will not help you because you picked it up beforehand. So same thing over here. Even though later on your friend or the person that respects you will not mind that you took his apples and oranges and pomegranates, but since at the time you took them he didn't know about it, you were not, that would be gezel, you're not allowed to take them. That's Tosus's psak, and therefore Tosus says the only reason Rav Ashi and Amemer were able to eat it because they figured that they were coming from the harvest to share, and he'll certainly tell his boss, the owner, his boss, that I took 10 for these Amoraim, and therefore you should take 10 before we split up the rest of the crops. Right, that's what Tosus says. So Tosus is clearly paskening in these questions that we talked about in the beginning, that if, even though I know my friend is not going to mind if I take some potato chips from his bag, I'm not allowed to take it because at this point he doesn't know that I'm taking them. That's Yerushalem Yidaz, and I'm not allowed to take them. Once again, we learned last week it was something that no one will care about. You know, it's a rubber band, it's you know, a paperclip, something that no one cares about. So then we have that hetzer from the Yerushalmi that people don't care except because it's Midas Chasidus that you'll end, everyone will take a rubber band, there'll be none left, everyone will take a chip off the fence, there'll be none left. So there's a problem. But it could be with a cell phone is better, because a cell phone, we're not afraid that they're going to use up the whole bill maybe. But anyway, that's in the case where no one cares about it. But if we're talking where most people do care, let's assume that people do care about having potato chips to getting taken out of their bag. You know, you're opening up a fresh bag of potato chips. You know, I don't want that. I want it to stay fresh as long as possible. But if you're my good friend, you know, if you were at my house, I'd open it up for you. So now you walked in without me being there, my roommate or my coworker in the office somewhere, and you took him without me saying it. So I would think maybe in such a case it will be okay. Tosafot says, no, even though when you later find out about it, you wouldn't mind. But since at this point in time you don't know about it, that's just like the case of Yerushalmi Midas, and therefore you're not allowed to take it. The only reason, once again, that Rav Ashi was able to take the fruits here was because the assumption was it came from the Aris. That's the way Tosafot understands the Gemara. The Ran and the Ritva have different answers of how they were allowed to eat the fruits. The Ran brings from the Rashba that we can assume that the owner won't mind in such a case. That's the minhag, he says, kach nagu. He brings Rai from the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, haben shahaya ochel mishal aviv, a son who eats from his father's food, or a servant who's eating from his master's food. He's allowed to take up a little piece to give to a son or to a friend, and we don't consider that gesel because that's the minhag. People don't care about that. And same thing, a gavai tzedakah could take tzedakah from a woman, from someone's wife. The assumption is the husband owns the money. It could be it's not that way nowadays because of the tanoim, but assuming that the husband owns all the property in the house, and someone, a mashulach, knocks on the door and asks for a tzedakah, what right does the woman have to give money that's not hers? And the answer is, because people aren't makpid, that that's the minhag. So the mail, it's okay. Ritva says a similar thing, that we can assume that Mari Bar Yitzchak doesn't mind the Talmid Chachamim taking benefit from his nechasim. Therefore, it's not Isur also Yodei. It's also Indian that's the way people act. So it seems to me they're arguing with Tosus. We'll see. Maybe they're not arguing so much, but they're giving a different answer. Tosus is saying the only reason it was mutter was because we can assume that the sharecropper was taking his own fruits and he'll later make a cheshbon with the owner. The Chiddush Yeran, the Ritva says that we can assume that this is the way the people act. They don't mind if you give fruits to a Talmid Chacham. They don't mind if it's a mount to a friend. This is the minhag of Alabatim. If someone comes, a sharecropper is there and the owner's not there and a guest come in, the owner doesn't mind giving it to the guests. But that's two mahalchim in understanding this Gemara. Now the Shach seems to be going with the Chiddush Yeran and Ritva. The Shach and Siman Shin and Ches Sivkat and Aleph says like this. He brings Tosus, and Tosus says you can't rely on the fact that, well, the owner Mistam won't mind because it's his friends, it's Tamei Chachamim. Tosus says you can't rely on that because that's Yish Shlomi Das. So the Shach says he loved him as Tafina. If I wasn't scared to argue with Tosus, Hayisi Omer, I would say Shemutter. It's mutter to take if you know the person won't mind. We had the Raya from Yir Shalom Idas. So the Shach says there's a big difference between Yir Shalom Idas and this case over here. Because what happens if you lose something? You lost a $10 bill, and you're not happy that you lost a $10 bill. Right now you don't even know about it. But when you find out, you're not happy. But what do? You say, well, I'm never going to find it. And the Torah says that if you give up hope, so in that case, the person who finds it at that point is allowed to keep it. However, if he took it beforehand, so then he's not allowed to keep it. Why is that? Because your yish doesn't help. Even though you gave up hope, suppose you knew the facts at this point. You knew the fact that I lost a $10 bill, but Shimon has it. That still wouldn't make you happy that Shimon has it. You just wish you could get it, but you have no way of proving it that it's yours. So in that case, that's where we say Yir Shalom Idas won't work. But over here, where if Shimon knew that his friend Reuven was at the house taking these apples and oranges, he'd be happy about it. And when he comes home, he's happy about it. So the Shach says that's not like the case of Yishalem Midas, where it's true that Alpi HaRocha, if he gave up hope, he loses ownership over it, but he's not happy about it. And that's why if he gave up hope after the person had already taken it, that Yish won't help. It's nothing to do with our case, the Shach says, where I'm happy that you took it. I would have wanted to if you had gotten me on my cell phone. I would have told you to take it. I just didn't know about it. So in that case, the Shach says, "Lule de Mistafina." If he wasn't afraid, he would argue with Tosus and allow you to take it. That's what the Shach says. Now the Pesachei Choshen points out that the Shach doesn't necessarily have support from the other Rishonim. He doesn't even bring down the Ran and the Ritva, the Rashba and the Ritva as support, because they're saying it's a minig. They said kach nagu. They said the minig is, if you have Talmidei Chachamim come to your orchard, or guests come to your orchard, the minig is that the Baal Habayis doesn't mind if the sharecropper gives some of his fruits. That's a minig. That's kach nagu. We saw this a couple of weeks ago, this lashon kach nagu, that should make it mutter to, you know, we talked about to take someone's things to get him angry and you're going to give it back. And they said, well, it's kach nagu, should be mutter, the Marishal said. But there is such a svara that if the minig is that people don't mind when the guests come and someone gives it without them knowing it, so that's not Yishalem Midas at all. That's saying that I'm the owner. I know I own 50% of the fruits over here, and I know that if someone comes to visit when I'm not here, that my sharecropper is going to give him some of the fruits. I know ahead of time that this property is something that might not be mine for long, because the minig is to give it out. And that's what the Ran and the Ritva are saying. The Shach is saying different. It's not that there's a minig. The Shach is saying that you know Reuven very well, and Reuven doesn't know that his friend's going to show up in such a case, and therefore he doesn't mind. He doesn't know ahead of time that his friend's going to come. That's not kach nagu. So Pesachei Choshen says that the Ran and the Ritva don't give the Shach any support. The Shach's on his own over here, and the Shach is paskening lulei demistafina that Tosfos' application of Yush is not correct when we're talking about a friend who's taking something without knowledge, because since the friend won't mind at all when he comes back and sees that it was done, that's different than the case of Yush, where he still lost the $10 and he's not happy about it. So that's the Shach Shita. How do we paskin Shach versus Tosfos? We would say Shach knows Tosfos, literally Mastafina, but however, there's a Shulchan Aruch HaRav who disagrees with the Shach. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says like this. In Sif Dalet, he says like this, Afilo imbarulo, even though you're sure, Sheki yevada levaylo, when the owners find out, Shehu notla, you took this apple from him, Oza yismicho, they'll be happy, v'yagilu, and they'll rejoice, v'mei avosanas, because they love him so much. It's still osero lehonis, v'abalo das habal, you're not allowed to take it without his knowledge. Lefichok, therefore, he brings the case from the Gemara, Hanichnos Lapardis, so someone goes into an orchard, or Laginas Chavero, or to someone's garden, also the Lilko Peva Shalamidasa Bani Kin say, oh, I'm so bunch of wonderful apples over there, I'll take a couple of apples, I'll tell him about it later, I'm sure he won't mind. Avi Shabala Pardis Vaginhu Ovo, the Reyo, even though the owner of that orchard or garden, his friend, Asher Kinnapsho, their closest friends, the Vivadi Yismach Vyogil, he'll be happy and rejoice, Kishiva. I'm so glad you took them. You know, I was waiting to give them to you. I'm so glad you took the liberty of taking them. Mikomakom, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins, came to Achr any Yodem. He says, since right now he doesn't know about it, Harehu's a Nana the Isser, when he had that benefit, it was an Isser, the Chen Kol Kiyosib is a, and similar in all cases like that. V'tzorech l'hazir l'rabim, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says we have to warn the public, people are nishalim because they don't realize, they say it's my friend, and after it's, oh, I'm so glad you did it, but when you did it, you're over in Isser. That's why Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins, he agrees with Tosus's Shita, that even though we made that chilek, well, you know, by years he's not really happy he lost it, but over here he is happy you took it, but still we see from the din of Yishalem Midas that the fact that later on you have some sort of emotion where you lose your rights to your property, it doesn't count retroactively. So the same thing, even though later on you're so happy that he took them, but at the time he took them they were your property, and no one has the right to take my property without my permission. And unless, we'll see, except for two exceptions. Right? So that's the way Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins. The later Achronim seem to be machmer like him, especially since the Shach himself said he loved the Mistafina, he's bringing Tosus, and he's worried about making that chiluk. It seems to be that it is something to worry about, that just like last week we learned, this is worse than last week. Last week we learned that if it's something no one's machmer on, so you're allowed to take it except if there's a midas chasidus not to, because there, that's like kach nogu. That's something like, the custom is, people take chips off, it doesn't make a difference, that I'm not going to lose anything from it. But this week we're learning that if it's something that there isn't such a widespread, it's not a universal minig, it's something that most people will mind you opening up the potato chip bag, but this is your friend who won't mind it, but the fact that he doesn't know about it, still doesn't and it makes it also for you to do it, even though later on you tell him that's the way the Shulchan Aruch HaRav passes. Now, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav himself gives two exceptions to the rule, which are important exceptions. The first one, he doesn't say, but it's l'chora based on the Ran and the Ritva. The first exception he gives in the next if is, we'll read it inside, even though we just finished saying how you have to warn the public that you shouldn't take something, property, without asking for it. Mutter leven beisa shel adam, it's permitted for a member of a person's household, his children or his wife, litein prusa l'ani, to give a piece of bread to a poor person, or no shel oavo shel balabayis, or to the balabayis's friend's son, shalom, he died without his knowledge. Lefisa kach nogu bali batin, because that's a minikah olam. Once again, that's the lashon of the Rashba that the Ran brought. That if it's a minik, kach nogu, so then it gets to a case like, you know, that's a minigai, that's my property that I know is going for, so my property is going to be given to aniyim that come by, your friends that come by. The mechila nisratza balabais dekach, and the balabais agreed with his kishahichnis pazula beis baiso. When he went to the bakery and he brought 10 loaves of bread, he realized that a couple of slices are going to go to an ani coming to the door, to some of his children's friend coming to the door. That's why he bought it. That's kach nahagu. Veins and nikra shalomi da'az ba'an klav. Therefore, it's not called without his knowledge. Since that's the minig. Ba'alam yodim is the minig, assuming that the owners know that this is the minig that everyone comes by, and the anim come by on Wednesdays, and they take bread from all the neighbors, and happens not to be home. So you're allowed to give him bread, even though he's not home, because the assumption is that's the minig ha'olam. How many times the mutter l'kavu tzedakah min anoshim? There was the Ran's case. Therefore, you could take tzedakah from the women, davar mu'ad, a small amount, shalom das balein, without the husband's knowing, because a small amount, the husbands know that there's change around, that wives can give tzedakah. If she decides to write a $1,000 check, that's not so simple. That could be a gezel problem, assuming she has no rights to the money. Right? That's Shulchan Aruch HaRav's heter. So, once again, the Shach, who was matir everything, was not relying on the Ran and the Ritva, because the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who is machmir, he said you can't take something from your friend without his knowledge, agrees that if it's something that everyone does, like giving tzedakah to an ani, and you know, there's money around, change around, and you give it to the ani walking by, or there's a piece of bread to someone that the children want to give a snack, right? If someone, the children come over to play and they offer their friends a snack from my property, since that's the minig, people are in makid, that's okay. But for you to go into someone's property without any rishos, you go take his property without asking him, even though later on he won't mind, but still usher as gezel. That's gezel, and the fact that later on he doesn't mind doesn't help retroactively to make it mutter. Right? That's the first part of this year.
That's not part of the minig. I mean, somebody to go into a friend's house.
Right. That's not a minig. That's not a minig. That happens to be, the circumstances are that, you know, we worked side by side, and you bought the thing of potato chips and you left, and I'm hungry right now. Right, that's a different circumstance. Or I happen to be a guest at your house, and you say, okay, here's your room, and you didn't say that take whatever you want, and I see, oh, there's a nice thing over here, maybe he wants it for something. Here we're talking, we're a minig, is that they come around every Wednesday, or the friends always come over, and that's a minig. You know, people come to friends, the friends give themselves some candies or something, that's a minig. Right, so this is the first half of the shiur. We've been talking about taking things without rishus. We're talking that you're taking things that are used up. Right, you're taking potato chips, you're taking food, you're eating up food. That's where we're saying that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says it's aser. The Shach said, Luli does it mistafino, if he wasn't afraid, he'd be matirid. But even the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who says it's aser, says if the minig is to take it, they're like tzedakah, those type of examples, that's matirid. Now how about if you're not taking it, but you're borrowing it? You're going to give it back afterwards. Are you allowed to borrow something, the comb or the toothbrush, the ruler? Can you borrow something from your friend where, in a case where you know he won't mind at the end? Right? If he will mind, like the case of the toothbrush, so that's nothing to talk about. So you know, even though he's a good friend, but there's a friendship has certain limits. But how about something he won't mind? Comb also could be shyly. You have to know how, what type of friend he, how mocked that friend is. Right, but a ruler. Right, you want to use his ruler to draw some lines on it. And he's not around to ask him. He left it in. He left it around. So can you take his ruler to use? So Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that it's mutter, even though he is machmir. He says that you're not allowed to use your friend's svarim, books, without rishus. El im kin yodula bebirur, unless you know for sure. Shelo yakadol, this is already in Hilchas She'ela, it's not in Hilchas Gezeila. Unless you know for sure, shelo yakadol abal achefes, the owner won't care about it. Oshu dover shein derech kovani adam lakud holo klal, or something that no one cares about. And they shein chash hesed ekuv klal v'tash mizekos, no one, nothing's going to get ruined by such a use. A ruler, if you use a ruler to draw a few lines, the ruler's not going to get ruined. If you use his book, the book might get ruined. Where do we see such a chilek? We see that in the Gemara later on in Bava Metzia Chavtes Amid Beis. The Gemara says like this: the Braisa had talked about different halachas. If you are borrowing a Sefer Torah, one of them said Amar Mar. The Gemara quotes the Braisa: Hashol Sefer Torah Chaveiro. If someone borrows a Sefer Torah from his friend, Harezel Yashiyalen LaAcher, you're not allowed to lend it to another person. So the Gemara asks, "My, your Sefer Torah? Why does the Braisa say a case of the Sefer Torah you're not allowed to lend?" If you borrow anything from your friend, you're not allowed to give that to someone else. Dumber Reb Shimon ben Lakish, because Reb Lakish said, "Kanchon Rebbe, Rebbe taught us halacha and gittin. Ein hashol v'shayla hashil. Someone who borrowed an item from his friend is not allowed to give it to another person. You borrow a car from someone, you can't lend it to another person. Ein hasokro v'shayla haskir. You rented a car from someone, you can't rent it to another person. So." Since the law is that anything you borrow, you're not allowed to lend to another person, why does the Braisa have to say, if you borrow a Sefer Torah, you can't give it to another person? So, and the assumption is these are things that can get ruined. A Sefer Torah is, it says, because it could kick tears as you're using it, it can get worn out. So Gemara says, Sefer Torah is tzrichalei. The Braisa had to tell us, especially that a Sefer Torah you can't lend out. Why? Because Ma would tell me, you might have thought, Nichalei inish disavi mitzvah money. It's a Sefer Torah. Maybe I don't mind the risk of it getting worn out a little bit, or maybe even worse, because at least it's being, and this is being done with my Sefer Torah. So, that's why Kamash Malon, the Braisa has to tell us that, no, even though a mitzvah is being done with it, since there's a risk that it could get messed up, I don't want it to be lent out. So the Gemara is saying like this, that certainly something where there's no mitzvah, if I borrowed it from you, I'm not allowed to lend it to another person because it could get ruined worse. Even if it's something that's involved with a mitzvah, even a Sefer Torah, I can't give it to someone, because even though he might want to miss it down with his property, but he doesn't want that at the risk of ruining his property. But you see from the Gemara that if it wouldn't be a risk of the property being ruined, so then you could lend the at least a dvar mitzvah to your friend, because what's the problem? A person wants a mitzvah done with his property, and he has no risk. If it's something that has no risk, the Gemara is saying it's only here because there's a risk of getting torn, but if there'd be no risk of getting torn, a person doesn't mind his property being given out. So same thing, the way the Emir Yaakov understands the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav takes that one step further. Just like we assume that if it's a mitzvah done with my property, I don't mind if someone will, if the borrower will lend it to another person. So same way, if I don't mind if the person uses it because he's my best friend or a friend of mine, So there also, if it's something that won't get ruined, as long as we can assume that I don't mind him taking it because he's my friend, or anyone because it's a mitzvah, or the Shulchan Aruch says anything that people aren't makbid about, in that case, you're allowed to use it without permission. Minchas Pitim says the same halacha. He says that even though you can't take it for good, but if it's to use it, you're allowed to use it if you're assuming that it won't get ruined. He says by Bikazan, there's a chumra, we spoke about that a few years ago, there could be a shlichas yad, then a shlichas yad by Bikazan, but if you're not a shomer, you're just sitting next to someone at the desk and you see that he has his ruler over there or some other item that you could use, and you know he won't mind because he's your friend, or you know he won't mind because it's something that people aren't makbid about, so in that case it's mutter to take. See, this is different than what we learned last week. Last week we learned about taking the rubber band and keeping it, or taking a toothpick and keeping it. So in that case, we said, even though it's something that people aren't makbid about, there's still, from the Yerushalmi Aminus Chassidus, not to do it. But if it's something that's not going to get used up, it's something that you're taking the ruler and you're going to put it back. You're taking the comb, assuming he doesn't mind, and put it back. So in that case, there's not even a Midas Chassidus, because it's, like we learned from the Gemara, it's only if it's going to get ruined, people are makbid, but if, just like I don't mind a misadayim with my property, I don't mind my friend using my property, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch Rav, who is machmer, paskins. He's machmer, even though he's machmer by taking it, but by borrowing it, he's being makel. So let's just review all the different cases, and we'll have it clear. But we have two cases that are four. We're talking about taking property of someone without his knowledge, and we talked about borrowing property of another person without his knowledge. And we talked, in combining last week's with this week's, we talked about taking it from a friend, or borrowing from a friend, or we talked about borrowing or taking it from any person on small things that people aren't makbid about. Right? Those are the four cases. Borrowing and taking, are you allowed to take it or borrow from a friend who won't care about it when he finds out? Or are you allowed to borrow and take it from anyone about something that people in general aren't makbid about? Things where there's no minhaga. Just there's no hakpada, right? Those are the four types of cases we talked about. But generally, we learn from the Hilchos Gzeila, you can't take or borrow. Borrowing, even though you're planning on giving it back, that's called gezel also. Gezel amenas to return it, that's also gezel. Borrowing to give it back, that's gezel. Right, so the default is it's always aser. Now, what cases will be mutter? When will it be mutter? So we learn like this. To take something that's going to be used up, you're taking a toothpick from a box of toothpicks that he has, and you're not going to put it back, hopefully. You're going to take the toothpick and use the toothpick and throw it away. So, can you take it or not? So, if it's something, the assumption is, people don't mind losing a toothpick. They have a box of 100. They don't mind losing toothpicks. So that, we learned last week, Me'ikra din, you're allowed to do it. But because if everyone takes them, there'll be no toothpicks left, so there's a Midas Chassidus not to do it. And that's like the case of the cell phone, the case of taking a rubber band. Even though people in general aren't makbid about losing rubber bands, but you have a Midas Chassidus not to do it because of the Dara Mabel, the difference as far as we said last week. Now, if it's your friend who certainly won't mind you taking that toothpick or the rubber band, he certainly won't mind. So we have a machlokas. The Shach says it's mutter to take in such a case because it's not like Yush, because since he'll be happy at the end, so you're allowed to take it.
That's a case where it would be, generally speaking, makbid.
Well, other people will be makbid, right?
Right. In a case where no one's makbid, then certainly with your friend you can take it the same. Right.
Well, yeah, except for the Midas Chassidus.
Right. So right. Now it's like people are
right.
Makbid.
So now it's something that, let's assume, right, a good point. Let's assume that it's something that people would be makbid about, but because it's your friend, you're taking it. So according to the Shach, it's mutter. According to Uli, except he's afraid, but he's arguing with Tosus, and he says from Svarah should be mutter. the Shulchan Aruch Rav Paskin that it's also even in that case, because it's like Yishul Amidas. You can't take something from your friend, even though he won't mind at the end. Even though he won't mind, right now he doesn't know about it. He can't take it. I'm just thinking now that if it be something that no one cares about, the toothpick, and it's your friend, so then it could be there's not even a Midas Chasidus in that case, because it's your friend. It's not that everyone's going to take it. So in the case of the toothpick, it could be that since if it's something that no one cares about, the toothpick, so if you're not a friend, so then you have a Midas Chasidus not to take it. If you are a friend, so then maybe you could be some echo on the Shach, at least in that case, to take it. But if it's something bigger, it's like the case we said, opening up a new potato chip bag, so then taking potato chips, so then you're making it worth less. So according to Shach, it'd be okay. But according to Shulchan Aruch Rav, which we should probably be makbid like, you shouldn't do it. Right, that's talking where you're taking it for good. Now, the exception was, if it's something the minig is that, you know, to give tzedakah without him knowing about it, or if the minig is in office, everyone takes each other's things, so, you know, that's the minig, so then you go by the minig. But assuming there's no minig, this is Machlokes Shach and Shulchan Aruch Rav, and l'chol we should be machmer like Shulchan Aruch Rav, unless you have some other reason to be meikul. So that's if you're taking something that will be used up. If you're not taking something, you're taking something that will be returned, like the ruler, like the items that will return a comb, where the assumption is most people will mind it being taken. So then if it's your friend, you can do it. If you know that he won't be makbid, even the Shulchan Aruch Rav agrees with that, because you're going to give it back, and the assumption is that if it's not going to be ruined from the Gemara, it seems that there's no problem. The ruler, the kohen, it might be ruined. That'll depend on the person. So in that case, you can take it without any problem. Or even if it's not your friend, but it's something that no one is mocked about, even though we learned last week that there's a minas chasidus not to take something that everyone's not mocked about, but to borrow it, there the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that since you're going to give it back, and it's something that no one's mocked on, and let's say a ruler is a case of that, where no one cares about it, and he has a ruler on a desk that someone takes it, as long as he puts it back, he won't mind. So in that case, it will be also permitted to take it, as long as you make sure there's no loss to it, as long as you put it back. Those are the way the halachas come out.